All right, y'all can have a seat. Good morning again, everybody. Like I said, my name is Ben Brown. I am on the Shoreline team. So mostly I'm getting to hang out with the high school students here at Watermark, but I'm so excited to be here with you all this morning and share something that I believe God has put on my heart to share with y'all. And so before we even kick off, there's anytime we open God's word, I truly believe that God wants to speak to us. As we get started, I'm going to tell you all a story. So once when I was in sixth grade, I played baseball at Joe Mack Campbell Park at Jonesboro, Arkansas, where I am born and raised. Y'all probably haven't heard of Jonesboro. That's okay. You have? Okay. He knows Jonesboro. Let's go. You know Jonesboro? Okay. A few. All right. Let's go. I grew up in Jonesboro, and I just had a baseball game like normal one day at the park. And then after the game, as you sometimes have to do, I really had to use the bathroom. And so ran to the bathroom. My mom, my dad, and my brother were at the game. And so my mom went with me. She waited outside while my dad and my brother went to go get the car for us to then go home. So go in the bathroom. You know, y'all know what happens. And then I walk out, and then I find my mom, and we sit on the curb, and we're waiting on my dad and my brother to show back up. And so we're sitting on the curb. At this point, we're the only family left at the ballpark, and we sit on the curb, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And no one shows up. My mom's phone is in the car with my dad and my brother, and we're just sitting there. We're like, what's happening? We sat on the curb in the dark because the lights turned off at the ballpark. We sat in the dark, scared and forgotten. And eventually my dad and brother realized when they got home that we were not there. And so they came back and picked us up. But the reason I tell you that story is because today, like we do in a summer in the Psalms, we're going to be looking at a psalm written by King David where David felt scared and forgotten by God. And so this psalm specifically, Psalm 13, is known as a psalm of lament. And so if you don't know what lament means, that's okay. I'll give you the definition right here. A lament is essentially a prayer expressing sorrow, confusion, or pain. And so a lament is a psalm expressing sorrow, confusion, or pain. Okay? And so let's read Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And so if there is one thing that you walk away knowing today, it's this right here. When our circumstances look bad and make us sad, we run to our heavenly dad. And I know you may read that and think, Ben, come on, that's a little cheesy. It's a little elementary, like, this is weight, come on. But the reason I phrased it like that is I truly want you to walk away knowing that when life gets hard, we can run to our Heavenly Father, like truly. And if so, if there's one thing, you know, you go home, your parents always ask, how was wake? What'd you learn? That's it. When our circumstances look bad and make us sad, we run to our Heavenly Dad. And so in this psalm, David is in distress. And we don't know exactly why he wrote this psalm specifically, but what we do know is that David faced a lot of trials in his life. He was pursued by King Saul, who was trying to murder him. And then also David had many children that he lost in his life. And so he was well aware of what it meant like to go through difficulties. And I think we are promised trials in our life. Maybe for you, this is stress, depression, social media, bullying, eating disorders, peer pressure, poverty, or anxiety. I mean, me and my family, we went and saw Inside Out 2 yesterday. Great movie, by the way. But the main character is anxiety. And so I know that in a room this size, some of you may be experiencing anxiety. And so it looks different for everybody. Maybe you're having problems with your parents. I would say your teachers, but some are. Your siblings or your sports teams. Again, it looks different for everyone. And can I tell you something right here, right now, that may surprise you? It is okay to not be okay. Do you hear me? Everybody hear me? Yeah, it is okay to not be okay. You just have to tell someone if this is you. Whether that's your small group leader, your parents, your friends, it's okay to not be okay. Did you know that Jesus wept? I feel like y'all probably knew that. But the thing is, when Jesus' friend Lazarus died, Jesus felt sad, and he grieved the death of his friend. And so, what we also know is that Jesus never sinned in his entire life, not once, which is crazy, but he never sinned. And so what we know is that it's not a sin to feel sad or to grieve or to even cry. And I'm just saying that this doesn't just pertain to death. You can grieve changing schools or loss of all kinds. And so what do we do when we feel sad? Once again, when our circumstances look bad and make us sad, we run to our heavenly dad. And so we have two options when we go through hard things. Either one, we can run to God for our comfort, or two, we can blame him for the situation that we're in. So when we go through hard things, we can either run to God for comfort, or we can blame him for the situation that we're in. And let me pause for just 1 second and say this. When I say run to your heavenly dad, for some of you, this may not be encouraging. Like, you don't even want to think about God as your father because you have a difficult relationship with your earthly father. And I'll say this, God is our perfect heavenly father. So in some ways, God is like our earthly father, and we are meant to relate to him as a father-son or father-daughter relationship. There's a familial piece of that, which is so sweet, that we get to call God of the universe Father. But in other ways, God is not like our earthly father, in that God is perfect and all-knowing and has never made a mistake. Almost 2 years ago, my dad passed away. I remember that day like it was yesterday, and I can't put into words the emotions and feelings that I felt on that day when I found out that he passed. And the best I can do is tell you, in some ways like inside out, that my emotions were all over the place. Emotions of grief, anger, confusion, loss, just that absence of missing my dad, who is now gone. And so in some ways, my prayers started like, or sounded like these psalms. But I continued talking to God regardless of how I felt about him or my situation. And that is what I'm asking of you all. I don't want you to look at your circumstances to determine how you feel about God. I'm asking you to look to God to determine how you should feel about your circumstances. So don't look to your circumstances to determine how you feel about God, but instead look to God to determine how you feel about your circumstances, because circumstances are ever changing and our God is not. It is okay to feel and process your emotions, but it is not okay for your emotions to control you. This could be if you got left out of the friend group or the group chat, or if you got made fun of, or if you didn't make a good grade on a test. Rest in knowing whose you are, that you are not forgotten, that you are loved more than we can even imagine by the God who created the entire universe. He knows your name, and he knows every single tear that you have ever shed. Isn't that amazing? Every tear that you have ever shed, our Heavenly Father has seen it. There's a psalm that talks about how God has every tear that we have ever shed in his bottle. Run to him with all your worries, doubts, concerns, and he will meet you in it. And sometimes we may be tempted to think that no one understands us or no one has experienced the specific things that we have been through. And to that I answer with Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, which says, "For we do not have a high priest," talking about Jesus, "for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus experienced hard things in this life. He came to earth from heaven. He lived a perfect life that we could not. He had friends die. He had people doubt him and seek to destroy him at every single turn. And he did only good for people ever. And in return, he was beaten, spit on, and eventually murdered. But then he rose from the grave 3 days later, because even death can't beat Jesus. That's crazy. Even death. And he ascended to the right hand of God and intercedes on our behalf right now out of love for you. You just have to believe that he is Lord and surrender your life to him. He knows the hurt that we feel and he wants to help you through it, but you have to let him in. We have to sit with Jesus in the hard. We have to let him into the messy parts of our lives, to every part of our lives. Nothing's off limits in our lives for Jesus when we surrender to him. Not just our dressed up Sunday morning selves. And so, how do we run to God? How do we do this? Well, there's three ways. We pray to God honest prayers. Just like in Psalm 13, 1 and 2, which says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" This is a brutally honest prayer. Brutally. And I want us to pray to God honest prayers, because it's relationship. It's not religion. It's relationship. Number two, we read God's word for comfort. Let God's word inform your heart about God's character, that we can trust in him. Psalm 13, 5, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And then number three, we worship him in the middle of our trials. We worship him in the middle of our trials. Psalm 13, 6 says, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." See, the thing about this psalm is that David starts with his very honest prayers and he ends with worship. And I think it's fair to say that his situation wasn't resolved in the few minutes that he sat down and wrote this psalm. His situation didn't change from Psalm 13:1 to Psalm 13:6. But he sings to the Lord in the middle of his trials. And so I want to end with this. So here's my journal that I've had for the last 4 years. This journal is my personal prayer journal that I write in. And so in it, this is how I write honest prayers to God. Every entry starts with Father, comma, and then I write the good things, the hard things, the things I think God's teaching me. But it's just the way that I write honest prayers to God. I remember one specific time in my room when I was journaling, I remember not having anything impressive to offer God. I was just like, "Lord, I'm here, and that's all I can offer you right now, because I'm so grieved and so upset about my situation." And I remember writing in this journal, "I'm not okay, and that is okay." So if you're here today and you are not okay, can I just tell you in church that if you are not okay, it's okay. It's okay. You just have to tell somebody. Tell your Heavenly Father. Tell God. And you don't have to journal. It's just something that I do. And so regardless of whether you journal or not, pray honest prayers. He delights in hearing you talk about your day, in the good times and the bad. Run to your Heavenly Dad. And so, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for Wake Unplugged and the ability for us to come together and open your word and hear you speak. Lord, I pray that anything that I said that is not from you would just fall on deaf ears. But Lord, if there is someone in this room who's not okay, Lord, I pray that they get the help they need, whether it's their parents, whether it's their community, whether it's you in their hearts speaking to them and comforting them. Because Lord, you are a good, good Father who we can run to in our struggles. And when we're in distress, just like David did, you are a sweet Father who's not tapping your foot in disgust, but Lord, you welcome us with open arms when we come to you. So Lord, thank you for this morning and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.